You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's The Americans After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's The Americans After Show.
Woo! Where? Martin? Theme song? No? Okay.
There it is.
Thank you. Yeah, listen to it. Sounds very Russian KGB spy. Bing is for doing. And we are here doing another episode of The Americans for You, episode 3, season 1. And this episode is titled Gregory. I am your host, Lauren Leonelli.
I'm Joe Braswell. Hello, Lauren.
And I'm Jennifer Golden. Hi, Lauren and Joe.
Hey. Hi, everyone. And Martin, thank you so much for...
Sure, no problem.
Giving us our beautiful theme song. We're kind of talking about how the beginning reminds us a little. This show is compared to Homeland all the time. It reminds us a little bit. Yeah. And it's, I think it's definitely different in its own ways, but it's good like Homeland. It makes you like the subject matter is really, really, there was a lot of like crazy risky stuff happening this episode.
Yeah. I mean, it's very similar, both well-written, both about spies, both about domestic drama.
Yeah.
It's, you know, both about sort of the blurring the lines between one side and the other and who's doing what.
And within that. Very much like Homeland, like, are they or aren't they? Like,
yeah.
Especially with Carrie Russell's character, Elizabeth, it's like, does she love? We kind of know now this episode what maybe she feels about Philip, but before it was sort of, is she just in this for the job? Is she doing this for, does she kind of love him? What's the kids? I mean, there's gray areas that make you, they straddle the fence.
Yeah.
Something else that happens in both shows, since we do compare them, might as well be combining our after shows here, but, is you kind of understand why, like, the enemy is likable almost, where people can kind of get sucked into that and turn. Not that we're going to turn, obviously. Well. We would not do that for sure. But there are people that do because they're just, you know, enveloped in that lifestyle where you just don't know right from wrong anymore.
You don't know right from wrong. And Elizabeth is one of those characters that I feel like through up until now, we learn a lot about these people fast because these are really, like we said, high risk situations.
Yep.
And Elizabeth is one of those characters who has seemed so laser beam focused on like, this is my job. Mm-hmm. Even like, I'm thinking... Again, she's never said this, but she got pregnant for cover. Like, this is all for cover, like everything. Yeah. And now we start to see her relationship with Gregory.
Yeah,
and Gregory. This kind of throws us for a loop, right?
Especially because we've seen her with other people in other circumstances that she did for finding out information or whatever it was to use
the person.
And
when you said she did. Had the sex with.
Oh, totally did the sex.
Right.
Did the sex.
This is what I love about the show. I mean, just going back to what you were talking about, Jen. The complicated, I love, these shows, these cable shows, these non-cable shows have been challenging us with these protagonists who are very not conventional heroes. So like you have, you know, serial killers on Dexter. You have, you know, Tony Soprano is a mob boss. You have, I mean, you're rooting for a motorcycle gang on Sons of Anarchy. Here, you have a Russian KGB spy who's going to take down America as the people that we're rooting for. And, you know, it's great writing, and it's something that's, you know, you make super spies very sympathetic, and I loved it.
Totally. And I think that this, and again, we're starting to straddle the fence on this even, because at the end of this episode, we're rooting for them. We're watching it through their eyes, unlike our comparison to Homeland, where we're seeing it through Carrie's eyes, and we're really fighting for America, and the subject is a lot more sacred cow. Like, it's very much more relevant for, you know, this is in the 80s, and this at the time, this was the big deal.
Yeah.
And we're rooting for these spies, and I'm really rooting for Philip, and I feel like he really loves her,
and
I want
reason,
him to. But
because they're a family.
Because
we
exactly.
are all people
but
that love families.
At the end of this episode,
was always that reminder.
That, we got to see a little bit of the nasty side, and you go, oh man.
That's
and
right,
then and we see the FBI there, and we see the dead body, and we're like,
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Man, that sucks.
Right. Right, because until then, we've sort of just seen, like, people have been killed or whatever. It was, like, the first guy in the first episode was killed because he had actually hurt Carrie Russell's character back in the day, and so Philip was protecting her.
So you want him to be, yeah.
We want that to happen, exactly. And it almost seemed a little bit like defense just because of what was going on. But you sort of forget that they're, like, violent spies. They're not just looking at things.
At any given moment, I feel like Carrie Russell could, like, take her two fingers and go, like, psh, psh, and
no,
just kill
she's no
somebody.
Joke. Yeah, she's absolutely
right.
No joke.
We thought she might do that in that one scene where she was left alone with the woman and the baby.
Totally.
Yeah. And, like, she has those eyes. It's the eyes.
She's going to do that, like, three-point heart maneuver from Kill Bill. And she's blah, 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 and then it's like, bleh, and they're just going to die. These people are crazy. But you also made a point. Again, we're dealing a lot within all of these subjects. This is the 80s, and the technology is, like, so not like it obviously is today.
No.
They have to place
ads. Spies had to work a lot harder in the
80s. A lot harder, right?
How did they accomplish anything?
These people are way, like, crazier than, like, our homeland dudes or whatever.
I want to know how I actually was born in the 80s. Like, were there machines that had me come out? Like, was there proper medicine
They
then?
Lit a candle.
Yes, they did.
And they boiled water.
And then I popped into a little...
And you were born.
I was a
bun
oven.
And thank God you lived.
I was around the 80s, and it's worse than I remember, actually, definitely. Because I forgot getting... There's no, you know...
Texting?
No texting, no cell phones, no answer machines, no, you know, no nothing. So how do you become a spy? All these high-level surveillance. No surveillance, no computers, no GPS, no
The guns
nothing.
Looked quite similar, think about but that's
how,
about it.
Yeah, think about how... you know, a lot of their leads and things like that are, oh, well, I had this feeling, or the way he was saying that, or, oh, she's religious, so she's not a good. There's
or
a lot
code
of these
words.
Right.
But think about how heightened their senses have to be.
Yeah.
I mean, even the scene where Philip was like, could you not stand in my blind spot? Like, every second of this guy's life, he is like...
Right. I didn't know you had a blind spot in real life. I thought it was just in the car.
Just in the car. Well, you're not a Russian spy. So.
Obviously. Well, I'm learning now how to be.
Now
so.
You're never going to be... You're going to be, like, standing in line at Pink's and being like, can you get out of my blind spot, please?
And even when they went to talk to the wife and the kid, they essentially had to interrogate her, but it was a... You know, they had to know if she was telling the truth or not. You can tell that Carrie Russell was looking at her like she's telling the truth. She's highly trained enough to heighten
body
senses
language.
Enough
That's what I'm
to
seeing.
Know with eyes and body language that, okay, I believe her.
A lot of
now
this,
what do we do?
A lot of this stuff is just having a really, really on-point instinct.
Yeah.
And that's also the reason why I think the show is good, because your instinct's not always right.
Yeah.
At any moment, it could be something else, too. But you have to go, and I'm the type of person who... I think something, and then I'm like, but it could be this, but it could be... And then, like, 80 different things later, these people are like, it's this, go. And then you have to react and be ready. And they're most of the time, they're right, but sometimes they're not. So Gregory and Elizabeth, we find out that there's a little something happening. Like,
there's a lot of something happening.
Well,
when he put on the music, I was like, oh.
And what was that? What was that? What was that?
Machine, the that
machine.
Contraption.
What was that doohickey?
That was a reel-to-reel. I'm the resident old guy here. That was a reel-to-reel.
That's why we have you.
Tape player.
It was amazing.
Yeah, that was a high, that high fidelity reel-to-reel.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was waiting for some
That's
good...
how you put it down back in the 80s. Good. A little, like, boop.
Yeah,
I
right?
thought it was going to be a record player of some kind, but nope. It was like...
It was like one of those real ones. But we could tell from the beginning that something was going down between these two.
Right.
And we weren't sure if this guy was another guy that she had the sex with to get information for, or if there was something else happening. And we could instantly see Carrie Russell, hey girl, call me. Tell me what you're doing, because every single guy in your life is in love with you.
Yeah. It's because she has no emotions.
Including me.
She's,
call me too.
Dude, she is so gorgeous. I love her.
I mean, even in the 80s gear, the high-waisted jeans.
No, she looks great. She looks fab. Fabu. And at first, I didn't think, while we're on this off-subject a little, at first I didn't really think Philip was cute, and now I kind of like him.
He's a super spy.
You know what?
That's always good.
I think it's cool. Like, he's pretty badass in that respect, but I watched him religiously on Brothers and Sisters. And there's been some articles and stuff out about, like, him playing, like, you know, a homosexual man in a relationship with, like, possible children to this badass
big
spy.
Jump.
Right.
Yeah, it's a huge jump.
Is it hard for you as an audience member to take him, to see him this way?
It's getting easier, I would say, each episode because I'm distancing him from Brothers and Sisters, the more badassness he has going on here. But it is still hard. Every time the episode starts, I'm a little bit like, what am I watching again?
Yeah. I buy him 100%. I watch a little bit of Brothers. I wasn't a religious Brothers and Sisters watcher, but I think he's a fantastic actor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Stupid Welsh. The Welsh,
foreigners.
The English.
They always, I mean.
Every time.
Can they stop? It's invading.
But yeah, he's fantastic.
They're taking our jobs.
They are totally taking our jobs. And we need to so Gregory and Elizabeth back in this, but we want to talk about while we're talking about good acting, we need to talk about the scene with Philip and Elizabeth in that alleyway.
Oh yeah.
Where he called her out. We'll get to that in a second because it relates to Gregory and Elizabeth, and we find out that they basically, I mean, I guess, could you call it an affair? I guess it was an affair.
Well, I don't know if it's a relationship, because it's not an affair, because technically she's married, but it was her cover.
Exactly.
Right.
But, so, you know.
And Philip is using to get back at her for it, because I think it literally hurts his heart that happened.
Right.
But he's basically like, you lied to me. You didn't do your job. But I think really what he wants to say is, why don't you just love me? Why couldn't you just do that with me?
That's a really interesting thing about this. You're seeing they're here to do a job. They're put together, but they're not in love. They're playing this role, but
they're
sort of falling. Doesn't love him at all, but they're falling in love, and maybe she's falling in love with him. Clearly he loved her, or at some point had fallen in love before she fell in love with him. But it's just to watch that whole thing come together. Because in the meantime, they got jobs to do. They're doing other people.
They have two jobs.
Yes.
They have a cover job and a real.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
How are they in this, like, they're full on have two kids.
Yeah.
That, in its own sense, is a job. They also are these fake travel agents, and they fully do that job. And then they, like, meet in the back and talk about and then they go out at night. We were questioning this, too. Hi. Right. They just leave their kids in the middle of the night and go, like, spy.
Philly's not that far from D.C.
But also, I think that in
the daughter's old enough, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, no.
In those times, though, I think it was different. Parents left their kids alone. They also smoked indoors and
while pregnant.
Right, and drank while pregnant. So times were different then. We have to remember
that. I know,
that.
But still. I mean, how do these people...
No one said being a spy in the 80s was easy.
Nobody said it was easy. These people don't even sleep. They're like, they're just getting home. They're like, the kids are going to be up in an hour. It's like, then they got to go be travel agents. I'd murder somebody.
And they're like sleeping with people on the side. Like, if they've got like relationships, they've got, last week, you know, Philip was with the blonde chick.
I know,
and before,
right?
Carrie's with the other dude.
Can we just talk about their disguises?
Yeah. I know.
I know that's just
apparently
so random.
Apparently in the 80s, disguises weren't, the technology, like, disguise wasn't up to snuff.
No. Beanie and glasses, and she's got a wig on that's like one shade off of her natural hair color.
But her face is completely seen.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
I just don't know how that's called the disguise.
I don't either, but I think maybe it just depends on who the person is and how greatly they need to disguise themselves.
Right.
And if you think about it in the real world, like, you meet somebody one time, like, sometimes you don't even remember meeting that person.
Well, it's true. I think also their disguise going to see Robert's wife was more to do with if other people saw them go see Robert's wife versus her seeing them.
Exactly. But then you have to keep in mind that if other people are seeing them, they're like highly trained professionals, like FBI people, who are going to notice a difference in hair color. Like, it's not going to throw them off.
Right. Facial recognition with your own two eyes. I think
know,
you can figure it out.
So, yeah. So, well, whatever. So, anyway, Gregory. So that's interesting. But Gregory, as we keep, there's so much to talk about. But Gregory, I like that he is he's a great actor. Love this guy.
Derek Luke.
And I like that they threw him in here, because now we're getting to see, we got to see it a little bit with the kids and Elizabeth sort of showing some emotion and a softer side. Mm-hmm. Now we're getting to see that, okay, this girl does really have feelings. She's not just like robot KGB spy.
Right.
And we find out a lot more about what went on between them when Gregory basically kind of confronts Philip in the kitchen when he's decoding that. We were like, what the heck is he making?
Yeah.
That acid contraption, and then all of a sudden the code came out. To see, they didn't have internet back then. They had to, like, go
make old some acid. School. Yeah, the show works on like the show works on two different levels. It works as a relationship drama, yes. Obviously. It's all those interpersonal relationships, but it also works as an action spy thriller.
Totally.
So all the action spy thriller crap I love, obviously, because mm-hmm. I'm a big. But all the relationship crap and the drama stuff is really, really well done too.
Yeah.
So I was just as interested to find out, like, you know, when Derek Luke popped, I'm like, well, he's black. He's a brother. Is he like a Russian? Like, how? What is he?
I was wondering that too. I'm like, he's clearly not Russian.
But they explained it because they, you know, historically talked about how, you know,
Vietnam.
I mean, for Vietnam, he's disenfranchised. Obviously, he's, you know, African American, early 70s, not the best place to be for us. Disenfranchised, anti-American. She recruited him, you know,
and she's
very passionate about
the
cause.
They were at a Martin Luther King rally, isn't that where they were at?
I think, she said a Vietnam.
No, I think it's an anti-war rally, which is more of an anti-war, anti-American.
They definitely mentioned him though. I heard his name.
She was definitely there on purpose to recruit people for
right,
sure.
Right,
right. She knows those people are like
anti-establishment people.
Down with the man.
So I thought that was really interesting to find out how he became, you know, how a guy like that, who is, you know, a little younger than my age at the time, could I would never think I could be turned, but just where he'd come from to go from where he was to being a spy, A, and then B, him being in a relationship with her in at this time and knowing that she's a full blown Russian spy, this is her cover, and then that's a crazy interesting life.
Crazy interesting, and I love how in the scene with Philip when he starts to explain how this all came about, that he at the same time he's talking about this love and relationship that they, you know, that they had together, Philip is still working and doing this spy stuff. So that's what you're talking about. It's the two aspects of the show working at the same time. And he, at the end, uncovers this clue. So you're reminded the whole time what's really going on. But I think also looking back on that whole thing about how Elizabeth met Gregory, it's interesting to think, you know, and they mentioned this in the first episode, I believe, that women used their bodies and their sex in ways to their advantage because men are stronger, and so women have this, that's to their advantage.
Right.
And you would think that she, to recruit Gregory, maybe used her sexuality or tried to lure him that way, but I don't think that's what happened, because at the end of the episode, we find out that Elizabeth explains how their relationship happened so organically.
She fell in love with him.
That is not how it happened with Philip, and she wished that it did. But it is now.
Right.
And you can see all over Philip's face that, she goes, I wish that happened for us that way, but it didn't. Right. And he goes, he was agreeing with her, but you could see his cover was really like.
But do you think Philip is, I mean, like, you know, we know where Philip was, he was in love, he's into a certain point. But I think that speech that Gregory gave him maybe got to him. Like, if you love her, then leave her alone. You know, if you don't love her, leave her alone. In other words, it felt like that he reached a point maybe that, like, maybe I'm not the best thing for her. Maybe this is not working. Because towards the end there, she was like, well, I what I got from that is I'm falling in love with you. This is happening now. And I thought, like, he was kind of going, late now. That's how I read it. What the hell
maybe,
do I
know? Maybe that's a good. I read that as just him kind of taking that in and thinking
like
about
a cliffhanger
it.
A cliffhanger.
Right. But I definitely think that Philip has been waiting to hear that for a really long time.
Yeah, I agree.
I was actually happy for her to say it because she has seemed a little sociopathic this entire time.
Sure.
And to see that she's doing things for the right reasons instead of for the job and for her country.
Some emotion for why she was such a robot in the first episodes.
The audience needs to relate. And the exposition, which normally is like very hard to write into a show because you're like, okay, here we go. Here's the soap opera explain. It was my twin sister's ex-boyfriend's blah, 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 whatever. But it felt very organic when she was saying, you know, I was only 17 when I was in the KGB and 22 when she moved to America, and I was in a strange place with a strange man in a strange house.
Totally believable. Makes
totally believable.
Sense.
And then she goes, and then I meet this guy, and he's so passionate about everything and me.
Right.
And I think maybe with that, too, I feel like Philip probably was passionate about her, but she was just so not given the vibe that he had to, you know.
I mean, they were there also knowing that they didn't pick each other. They were put together. So, like, for her to pick, you know, Gregory, it was more of a... we were drawn to each other than we were, like, placed together and given, like, a paycheck to do this.
Totally. Well, we saw hints of that in the early, I think it's the first or second episode, we saw the flashback where they first got together.
In the hotel room.
It's kind of
awkward. You know, we're going to have to do this sooner or later. And she's like, get off
so
me.
Awkward.
You know, so,
so
you know,
awkward. And
it's an arranged marriage.
Yeah. Totally. And we could see, I mean, she, that's, you know, that is really, I could imagine that being really scary. But so now we're all finding this out about, you know, Gregory and Elizabeth. Meanwhile, we've got Robert, the guy that fled that car scene in the first episode,
right,
was stabbed, and now we find out he's dead, he's turned up, and he has a wife and a kid.
Well, Robert posed all kinds of interesting questions and problems because his death, we thought we were done with Robert, but first of all, Nina, who is the new FBI informant,
mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's actually sneaky hot, by the way. I'm
she's pretty, yeah.
Yeah, but Nina is has told the FBI who Robert was, so they're actually on to Robert, so they're watching him as well.
Mm-hmm.
We get this message from the newspaper, which is, you know, again, in the 80s, apparently communicated via newspaper.
You were like, hey, Facebook messaged me. It was like, put an ad in the classifieds. Call me.
So they go to investigate to find out that he has a wife, a kid, and then the FBI are onto him. So you have all these people sort of converging in Philadelphia, which is really, really interesting, over Robert, this dead guy. And also we have, which we'll get to in a second, we have, you know, Grandma, Margot Martindale, who also converged. Granny's going to converge in Philadelphia, too, over Robert. So,
well, right when we discover that there's been an ad placed, we've got Philip reading it in the newspaper, realizing it, and in his blind spot, we've got Granny. I mean, this is just another example. He's out to breakfast with his daughter. Like, these people do not stop.
Don't miss
every second. They sleep with, like, one eye open. They're like,
wait, meanwhile, okay, do they read the entire newspaper from start to finish and catch the little notice?
Probably.
Yeah.
Or do they specifically read the newspaper for the notices? Because they don't care about our news.
No, they're reading it for probably any, I mean, maybe just to be up on current events and act like they're being very American.
Yeah.
And then also for clues and things
check
like that.
Check the classified, because that's where all the messages are.
Right. It's like us checking our email every day.
Yeah, it's like checking your email. You throw the junk out, and then you're like, oh, look, I have to meet another Russian spy today, like everyone else does, right?
Right.
It's like totally normal. So Robert is dead for a while, and they can't figure out why. They're like, "What? How did this this get posted in the classifieds that he's been dead for like 2 weeks.
Right.
So once we meet his wife, Joyce, we find out, and their son, Oscar, we find out that he told her, he gave her specific instructions, and Jen and I especially were like, well, this girl is she's a woman, and she didn't ask any questions. Like, you know, we'd all be like, and then what'd you do? And what color of pants were you wearing? And like, come on. So that we find out that Elizabeth and Philip need to get to this woman because they're like, what does she know?
Right.
Exactly. We got to stop her now from talking if she knows anything.
Exactly.
We find out, we think, and she could be lying, she doesn't know anything because of just the way she's acting. And here he gave me this note to give to you, which is eventually decoded.
Right.
And he told me if he doesn't come back in 2 weeks, I need to place this ad in the paper. And that was like the warning to everybody that he didn't make it.
How does nobody, like, these KGB spies are very, very smart, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't trust each other, and they have all these things going on, and everyone's a little bit afraid of the KGB themselves in the center, but they're for their cause. So they're like confident and all that and fearless. But to know that there are so many lies and like so many layers to everything and people being replaced by other people, how do they not think that something bad was going to happen to that woman? That's obviously why he hid her for so long.
Yeah.
Oh, the wife.
Yeah. Why would he then, I mean, unless he wanted her killed so that she wouldn't have to then go through this life, maybe?
No, I think that he just was, he fell in love and he knew that he can never let her know about what he did. So he never let them know about her.
So why have her post this ad and get involved in it?
No, that was only because if he died, then her and her son
have
nothing. So she's basically like.
And I think she was hoping, I think you're right on that, Joe. I think she was hoping that, or he,
Robert.
Sorry, there's too many names floating in my head. Was hoping that that Philip and Elizabeth would help her.
Right.
And we still don't know this for sure, but we're thinking that they did really try and help her, and that they had no idea she was going to be killed by Granny.
I think we have every indication in the show that they wanted to help. I mean, both. I mean, maybe Carrie Russell had a little wavering with Gregory. Like, I haven't made a decision yet, but we got the whole time that they wanted to help the whole time.
We can safely make the assumption that we think that when they passed her off to Granny.
They fully thought
she was going to Cuba and she was going to be okay.
Drink some Cuba Libres and whatever else they drink out there.
Yeah.
That makes sense because during the Cold War, they were in cahoots, so.
Yeah.
They sure were.
And, I just want to get back to the storytelling here is just still remarkable because it was so, we had to pause the TV at one point because there's so much going on, but I realized that, I was completely confused, had to go back and recount it, but I realized that they explained everything. If I would have just been patient, they would explain it all to me.
Totally.
They did a fantastic job of sort of laying all this stuff out for us and then sort of bringing it all in.
It unfolds.
Yeah.
It totally unfolds. You have to be patient. And that's a prime example, that moment where they hand Joyce off to Granny and you're going, wait, oh, what's going to, and then at the end of the episode, they tell you exactly what happened to her.
Exactly.
Done.
Exactly.
Russian KGB style, word up.
Yeah.
That's how they roll.
Made it look like a drug overdose and the baby was sent back to Russia to probably
KGB become... KGB does not play. They know exactly what they're doing.
That baby's probably going to become the next round of KGB spies.
That baby is going to... Or a very, very talented gymnast.
Yeah.
Two options.
That's it.
And
that's
either or is very badass.
Yep.
Yes.
True. That's just what I'm saying. So, so the whole Robert thing was, very interesting to see what, because this is another thing. They always, that in itself is an explanation because that Robert got thrown out of that car and we never really heard back from him again.
I just missed him. I was like, eh.
Yeah,
you're like, meh. And then very much like Homeland. Homeland does this a lot.
Right, he's back.
He's back and there is an explanation. Everything is tied up in this, which I love. I just dropped my pen. I'm so excited. but I like that they kind of explain that and it's clearly this. I think they might be tying this specific Robert thing up, but off of that comes a lot of other cool things.
Well, Robert, as a plot device, Robert was definitely used to be able to include Nina, who then tell the FBI. I mean, Robert's the main lead that got the FBI on the trail. So with no Robert, the FBI is not in Philadelphia. The FBI is not around. So it's definitely a good sort of plot device to get, both sides working on this at the same time. And it's great to see. It's great to see, you're kind of rooting for the FBI, but you're also rooting for, Philip and Elizabeth.
Because you like them.
Right. But I think this is the way that stories will be told now and in the future, like now in 2013, is that it's really not necessarily about, I'm going to root for this main character and these guys are good and these guys are bad. I think it's sort of like, I'm going to tell a story.
Yes.
And in this story, there's these people and there's these people and there's these people.
Like life.
Exactly. And you're just going to, I'm going to let it all play out and you can just watch it as much as you, figure out what you're going to see.
And I think that is very...
And then
we're very like animated on this show.
We are.
I think that much like reality TV, which is so popular, you're a fly on the wall and you're watching things unfold in like a crazy way. And maybe it's taking a hint off of that. You know what I mean? Like, this is very realistic. It's not like a soap opera. It doesn't take 800 days to have one conversation.
Right.
Like, this is the way it really is. And there's tons of different storylines, like life. There's tons of different layers of people and everyone's crossing paths and they intersect or they don't. And I think it's very realistic and really makes it really intriguing. Like, you don't want to stop. And speaking of the FBI, who we're talking about, we're rooting for them, sometimes we're not.
Right.
The FBI and Granny, the actress's name is Margot.
Margot Martindale. She is...
the new Gabriel.
Yeah, one of my favorites. She's going to just fresh off of her wonderful performances, Mags and Justified, season 2, where she killed it and won an Emmy and was wonderful. When she showed up, you knew-ish was going down because she's a great actress. She knows she's going to have some weighty role. So when I saw her in the diner, I was like, what's Margot in the diner?
Something's up with that lady for sure from the diner. And then also, I think it's interesting that they pick this older, smaller woman to play the role of the... we're assuming Gabriel was the head of this operation.
Well, Gabriel ran all the agents.
Yeah.
So she's the one on the ground who's running all the agents, who's reporting directly back to General Zhukov or whatever his name
is. Exactly.
So, it's so crazy to see. I mean, obviously, spies come in all forms.
Yeah.
So to see that it's this older woman who can clearly kill without a whim, you know, also you don't expect that from a person you'd call granny. You expect a nice, charming little woman.
And I think that it's great that we know that she is like super badass because they wouldn't give that role to a woman in that a person in that package.
Right.
Like and right away when Philip kind of confronted her in the alleyway and was like,
stay with my kids.
Don't do this, don't do that. And she kind of like said, don't ever touch me like that again. Yeah. And then she started to lay down the law and she did this little acting thing that I caught that was very small. She said something to him and then she went like this and like brushed her eyebrow and went back to it. Like, I'm doing my everyday stuff. I just brushed my eyebrow. Like, kind of dismissive, but like not overt. Oh, so good.
She's very good.
That scene was great, but can we please talk about the scene with, just while we're talking about acting?
Yeah.
With Philip and Elizabeth.
In the car.
Alleyway.
That was amazing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was one of the best scenes we've seen so far.
That was great dialogue and great acting.
Yeah.
I love that Philip was not really on his lines. Like, you could tell. He was stopping himself. I mean, come on. David Mamet did not write this screen, these words, okay? So they're not going, That was just him being in the moment and being emotional, and it was sounded so real, like a real argument.
Right, because people don't always finish their sentences or complete thoughts.
No, and he was so, you could tell how enraged and emotional he was because that's his Achilles heel. With Carrie Russell's character, it's her kids. Now we're finding out it's Gregory.
Yeah.
But with him, it's always been her. She's always been, I mean, in a second, he killed that Timoshev guy because he didn't even know, but he did something to her and he was like, that's it, broke his neck.
You know, 1 second he's talking about defecting, the next second he's like, oh,
he's like, for you,
it's over.
For you?
Well, I think part of it's also that they are lonely and this is actually their family. This is like their own cell.
True.
And it's interesting to hear him say, like, you lied to me and, you know, their life is lying. That's all they do. And so,
but not to each other.
They're not real. They're not a real marriage. They're not a real couple.
But they're a team.
They are a team for sure. But they still have, you know, their private lives. It's like, you know, if you're cops, you go home to your wives and these your other
are,
people.
You're very true, Jen, but I don't think these people are allowed to have private lives.
No.
They may not be, but
like that thing with Gregory, not allowed.
Yeah, no,
if someone found out about that, just like with Robert and Joyce, that's not allowed. Like, you have kids and you love this person. You don't even speak with a Russian accent ever, even in the privacy of each other. Like, that does not happen.
I think that, though, that scene also played into their fears, like showing, like, I am really alone.
Yes.
Like, you are my partner, but I'm actually alone. And he's even considered defecting and for her and all of these things. And I feel like it shows a little bit of their confusion in their own lives and what they're doing and maybe questioning, am I really, what am I doing this for anymore?
That scene for me, I mean, I completely felt him from a male perspective, from all that. Like, it was a battle between him sort of trying to reconcile doing the job and being in love.
And that's the male perspective that you're talking,
the male perspective is actually, being in that situation, the argument with someone, you know, where you're like, well, I'm trying to make this work and I love you, but fine, do what you want. You know,
and probably from a male perspective, too, of feeling like this other dude just walked in here and kind of tried to, like, alpha male me. Like, what's that?
The real male perspective is like, I'm really feeling a lot here, but I can't let you know what I'm feeling, so I'm going to make it about the job.
Why do you do that, boys?
What he wants to say is, I'm in love with you, and I'm in love with you. I don't want you talking to him. Why did you do that to me? But what he ends up saying is, why did you lie to me? This is the job.
The cover,
in fact, do what you want to do. I don't care. I'm a dude. I'm out. Peace.
Mm-hmm. Gets in the car and storms off and then cries himself to sleep in the privacy of his own.
Right. That's how we don't do it.
Well, you know, hey, we can learn something from...
We're a lot stronger than that, us men.
Yeah.
No, but I love the scene for that reason. Like, the whole but in that moment, he's trying to reconcile the fact that, like, well, this is my job, and I'm the spy, and, well, this is wrong as a spy. You're my partner, and you shouldn't lie to me. But also, like, you shouldn't lie to me because I love you. I thought you loved me, and why'd you tell this? You didn't even tell me that. You told him and not me. But,
exactly.
You know, that was really well played.
Totally, and I think that the layer as an acting choice, it's there. He is, you know, consciously covering with that male perspective of like, I'm not going to show you my emotions, but you can see it in his eyes as an actor. Like, I pay attention to that kind of stuff. This guy is hurting. At the end of the episode, you see the same thing in his eyes when she's saying, you know, that it happened so organically with Gregory, but it didn't happen for us like that, right? Sure. And you just see his heart breaking. Like, it did for me. Maybe not for you, but it did for me. And those are the layers that make it so interesting.
Sorry if I know Black Panther.
Sorry
if I'm just a Russian spy.
I could see why she might have liked that Gregory guy, but I liked the way he walked. I was like, I like the way that guy's walking.
I hope Keri Russell really does like the black.
Swaggy. Hey.
She definitely likes confident men.
That's,
yeah, because we saw that was kind of a problem with Philip. She was like, wanted, you know, she told that guy that she was sleeping with to get information from that she really liked. Didn't she say she liked how manly he was or something?
No, she said you need to be stronger next time or something like that.
That's right, yeah.
And so we kind of concluded that maybe
he's listening to the tapes like, damn.
She's already more manly than most men, so she probably needs somebody that much stronger.
Totally. Yeah. But then we start to see that side of Philip. It's kind of hot when he's like, can you get out of my blind spot? And then those guys come up on him and just like, bam, bam, bam. And then it ends. Yeah. That scene ends with the briefcase opening up and
On the action side, that's really, really good action, really good. Mm-hmm. And they're really doing a job of the spy stuff as well.
Before that, how still he was, too. He's like, man, could you get out of my blind spot?
He's like, I warned you twice.
And then he goes,
he's like, I warned them.
I warned them twice. I warned them twice.
Wait, but so what was in that box? We still don't know what was in the briefcase that then he gave to Granny Lady.
You know, I wonder about that in general. We talked about, like, you know, what is the end game here and what's the end game for these spies in general? But I wonder about that, again, back to the storytelling, is I don't think it's really necessary for us as the audience to know exactly the specifics or what they're doing. We just know that they're KBG guys doing bad stuff, take down America. It's a lot of exchanges, envelopes, briefcases.
And it will be explained,
But even if it's not explained, I think we got the fact that they're doing stuff.
It was, I think, was probably some sort of like recording device. Because again, they didn't have internet back in the day. Like, this is how they passed information on. Speaking of the internet, by the way, we need to do a little iTunes shout out for y'all who go onto iTunes and rate and comment and tell a friend.
Please.
We love when you guys do that.
We're number one right now because of you guys.
Number one show. Dethroning the following.
That's right.
Which is another show that I do, which is great.
And we, sorry about that.
It's quite all right. Hey.
But we are going to keep it that way because we love to hear what you guys have to say. It keeps the lights on for us over here. Mm-hmm. We listen to your good and bad comments. Plus, this is a show that I feel like really is a great conversation piece. There's so, like we said, so many layers, so many different sides. Like, somebody could argue a whole different side to this and have a very valid argument based on facts and things that they do and say. So tell us about that, please.
We'd love to hear what you think about the show. We love fives, fours, fives, subscribe, comment.
Please do.
Please.
We also actually check our YouTube comments all the time and want to give a shout out to Taylor Lee, because Taylor Lee wrote saying that she doesn't think that Elizabeth is being more affectionate towards Philip just for the job, but like we were thinking, because she finally realized how much he cares about her and is starting to open up to the thought of loving him, which we now saw in this episode.
Right. Good call, Taylor.
And this was a response to you guys last week talking about the episode where we started to see a little bit more
of that. Good call,
Taylor. See, Taylor was on it. She predicted that. Good prediction, girlfriend.
On the money. So we'd love to hear from you, please. Yep.
Talk to us.
Yeah, we definitely love that. And also, speaking of, you know, things that you can do and see and watch, we have an exciting announcement here at AfterBuzz TV. Our CEO, Maria Menounos, and Kevin Undergaro, they have a new fancy, fantastic, funny movie coming out called Serial Buddies.
Yay.
And you can watch Maria in the movie. She's great. But you can also see, like, Kathy Lee Gifford, Christopher Lloyd, to name a few. It's a really, really funny comedy, and I like to describe it as it's like Dexter meets Dumb and Dumber.
Right.
Who doesn't want to see that?
Who doesn't like either of those? So it's super funny. The comedy is like that Dumb and Dumber humor, but the subject matter sort of Dexter-y about serial killers that become friends, and wackiness ensues, correct?
Right, exactly. Kathleen Gifford, I will say, is hilarious. You'll see her like you've never seen her before. And also look out for one of my heroes. Speaking of the 80s, one of my heroes, Henry Winkler,
the Fonz
himself, is his voice. He's in the movie as well.
What a cast.
Tons of fun cameos.
It's great, yeah. And, you know, and Maria and the gang, so
and
check
when,
it out.
When can we see this?
And we can see this. It opens March 8th in cities like, if you're in L.A., Boston, Chicago, San Francisco, word up to the Bay Area, people on Van Ness and the theater in Van Ness, go see it.
I'll be there this weekend.
And you can, so you can visit www.seriobuddies.com and make sure to follow at Maria Menounos and at Serial Buddies on Twitter so you can get all the news and gossip and latest info. March 8th, go see it.
It's gonna be at Serial Buddies, at Serial underscore Buddies, right?
Oh, I'm sorry, at Serial underscore Buddies. Right. I need to give that correct information. Right. But yes, so please go see it for all you AfterBuzz fans. You can see now AfterBuzz movies.
How
we're all involved in lots of different things.
Yes. And I will say, from my other show, Justified, my co-host Stephen Bottomley does some music in there. He has two songs. My other co-host did some costumes on there.
Wow.
My other co-host John is in the movie. He's really great. So it's definitely a family affair here.
Definitely. So it's going to be great and funny. Make sure you see it March 8th. All right. So I don't know. I feel like we kind of covered everything from this episode. No, is there anything we're leaving out? I feel like this was a really, really action-packed episode, though.
It was. We saw the lengths to which these people will go to cover up themselves.
And my favorite part, you're absolutely right, my favorite part is definitely seeing the softer side of Elizabeth.
Right.
For sure.
Me too.
She's definitely starting to soften up. And we're actually seeing more of the FBI. We're seeing how, we're playing both sides, the KGB versus the FBI.
Yeah.
We're also starting to see, as we saw on the previews, some real life events start to take place.
Ronald Reagan shooting.
Reagan was an assassination attempt by Ronald Reagan. Looks like it's going to play a huge role next week. So that'll be something to look for.
I like that. Like Homeland, they use real events that happened and then tie it into their story. It makes it relevant. It makes you be able to relate to it. And I'm excited to see where this Elizabeth and Philip thing starts going. She keeps touching his hand.
That's her thing. Her token thing is this.
You know what? Every time, if you're of age, take a shot of vodka. Every time Elizabeth and Philip touch hands, that's our new drinking game for you people that are above the age of 21. Please.
I think I may wear fur next episode.
And I'm going to, too. Right. I'm going to wear fur,
Fake
too.
Faux fur.
Vodka, also because
I'm bringing my
Russian
vodka to our screening. And every time that I touch hands, I will drink the vodka.
Okay,
so we'll
good.
See how I feel.
We're of age, so we can do that. All right, kids. Should we get into some news and gossip?
AfterBuzz TV News.
So we only have a few things because really Matthew Rhys and Keri Russell are not in like the press at all, except for their like really awesome interviews that they do, which are so not dramatic in any way. So there's not a lot of gossip. You know, they're just nice actor
they
people.
Are.
But there's some ratings news. FX has like several great shows on, Americans, Justified, American Horror Story, Sons of Anarchy.
Anger Management, which we also do at AfterBuzz TV here.
Right, exactly. I think we do all of those shows here. But this show particularly started with really high ratings. It sort of dropped off last episode in terms of live viewership, but the DVR ratings are like times three.
Amazing.
Yeah, they're higher than any of the other shows, and it's doing really well there. And I can see why. I mean, I want to watch it with people when everybody's available to watch it.
Yeah, you know.
Well, that's one of the things we've been talking about, too. Like, you know, finally the technology has caught up for, you know, these to get accurate ratings. I mean, these plus three ratings and the plus seven ratings are really helping sort of like, you know, before. Because, you know, not everyone nowadays watches things on the night.
I don't want to watch it.
You DVR them. So these plus three ratings, live plus three and live plus seven, I mean, you're getting these long tail ratings and these shows are getting, you know, they're bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
It's great. Good to know.
They're up on it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so speaking of Keri Russell doing an interview, she was actually on Jimmy Fallon.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about how she was on the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yes, I remember that.
Remember that?
I remember that, too.
I had forgotten. And then I remember, I was like,
Justin Timberlake,
exactly.
Christina Aguilera.
Ryan Gosling.
Yep.
Brittany.
It's Brittany, bitch.
It's Bri.
Fergie.
Was JC too?
JC.
And Fergie.
There was a lot of them.
Fergie. Wow. Fergie was on Kids Incorporated.
No, Kids Incorporated. You're right.
I'm not,
with Jennifer Love?
Oh, yeah, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah.
That was a great JLH show. I kind of missed it.
So she had a little interview with
Jimmy. She did, and she was talking about how, you know, she's on The American. She's got a lot going on right now.
The movies.
She's in that movie. Everyone's talking about her doing the next Star Trek or yes. Star Wars. Star Trek, I believe.
Maybe Star Wars. Is she in the Star Trek?
The one with J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, well, J.J. Abrams is doing both. That's a trick. One's already shot, and then one's coming out. I just know because I just did a whole thing in Lucasfilm for Star Wars.
I'm going to bing it right now.
I think they're talking about her doing possibly cooking with JJ for the new Star Wars.
And being Princess Leia or something? I don't know.
Yeah, Star Wars.
Awesome. Well, either way, we'll find out from Lauren in a second. She was talking about how she was doing stunts, and she has to really do these stunts to make it look real.
No.
So there was one episode where she had to, you know, slam the guy's head through a wall, and she was like, it was horrifying. You know, I had to do this, and it was a little bit crazy. And Jimmy was like, well, you know, so what did you do? Did you do it? What did you do? And she goes, I fucking did it.
She did not.
Yeah. Sorry, audience.
She's quoting.
I'm just quoting what she said.
She did.
Our little Carrie Russell, this is the only drama going on in her life right now. She used the F word.
I love that she dropped the F bomb because we're so used to seeing Carrie Russell be like the Felicity character's little meek, quiet.
Yep.
And this, we get to see her and the Americans, we get to see her be badass. And then now I think it's bringing out the badass side in her, huh? And yes, it is Star Wars.
And it's so ironic, too.
Thank you, Bing. Star Wars.
Bing.
Yeah, great. Mm-hmm. Awesome. She's really like, I mean, it's been a while since we've seen her do stuff. Even movies, they were very indie, small stuff. And now we're really getting to see this TV film. Go Carrie Russell. I love me some Felicity.
Me too.
That's right.
We're rooting for her for sure.
We love.
Not as a spy, but as,
well, just, you know, you know,
her
in general.
We're rooting for her.
Carrie Russell.
Versatile. Carrie
Russell. All right. Should we get into predictions? Are we ready? Yes. We're ready.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm so excited. I totally think that Elizabeth is going to start to realize that she has feelings for Philip, even though I feel like she's so, like, on the, like, KGB robot path. Like, she's not going to let that happen. But I think she's going to start to let it happen. And I have two ways this prediction goes. She's either tricking him to keep him from defecting, or she's really going to feel that way. And if she really does start to feel that way, there's going to be a real big problem with Gregory. He's going to get, like, killed, or something's going to happen because he's going to have to go. He's getting too emotionally involved, and he's going to start ruining things.
He's not going to just walk away.
Yeah. Something bad's going to happen there.
He's in love with her. He told her.
Right.
Yeah.
And I do think, to that effect, you know, that it is going to progress in some way, the Elizabeth-Philip thing. I think every episode we're going to see a lot more of them questioning what they're doing.
Yeah.
And whether they should be in this or not.
You mean, like, they're not going to just lay down and take orders? They're going to be like, hold on, let's talk about this.
I think that the defecting thing is going to obviously keep coming up because I'm sure it did at that time. I mean, as a spy, I'm sure that comes up. You are human. You're born
life
with feelings.
Life happens,
so.
Yeah.
Right. Especially if they start to really love each other. And they do have these kids that they already love. So,
that's
like Philip thought about defecting for the family,
right,
you know, and sort of departing from this whole lifestyle. She, I think, is going to start thinking that way, too, and it's going to keep coming up.
True.
I got two slight predictions. The first one is, I think that Carrie Russell, Elizabeth, will start to fall for Philip, but I think the tables will switch. I think Philip will become more distant as she becomes closer. We open with, you know, her being distant, him being closer. I think they're going to start to switch.
The ebb and flow,
so that,
right?
So, like, we'll start. I think that will be ongoing throughout the season. And I also think that Margot Martindale, Grandma, she's going to do some double-crossing. I think that she's not to be, not to be trusted, but I think that, like,
she fights dirty.
Yeah.
She's like Helen. She's going to be like, like Judy Dench, I mean.
Right.
Like,
Judy, like, yeah,
she's
like,
be
M
like
and Bond.
Yeah,
yeah, we already saw that she's, you know, with a smile, like, yeah, we'll take you to Cuba. And then that was it.
That she's so
and
cold.
I don't think they knew. So that's kind of an indication kind of where we're going with her.
Yes. They're not going to be able to trust her. They're not going to trust what's going on around them and their involvement in this. That's why I think they're going to want to defect.
You can't trust anybody in this show.
No.
Right.
That's why we need to keep watching and tuning in, because it is cray-cray. Okay. Thank you so much, you guys, for tuning in and watching and listening here at AfterBuzz TV. And we will see you next week for another episode of The Americans. Getting real good, guys.
Yep.
I am Lauren Leonelli. You can find me at Lauren Leonelli on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and my website. Don't make fun, Jen the Jew.
I'm not.
Jen the Jew.
Oh, right. I guess that's a good segue. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jen the Jew, and at my website, jennifergolden.com. That's one N, guys. Jennifer with one N.
And you can find me here at AfterBuzz on the following After Show on Mondays, the Justified After Show on Tuesdays, and at Grantland.com, ESPN's Grantland.com. I have a 7-part documentary series on Lucasfilm and Star Wars and ILM that comes out tomorrow.
Hey.
So go to Grantland.com, check that out. And on Twitter at Joe K. Braswell, and I on Extra too.
Yeah,
yeah,
everywhere.
All right.
And we're here later for Nashville.
Yeah, so tune in later for Nashville. See you guys next week.
Bye. From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.